Good evening. This is Mark Lynch, and this is Inquiry. My returning guest tonight, it's always a pleasure to talk to him, is best-selling author and artist of many books for young people, Jarrett J. Krasoska. And we're talking about his latest graphic memoir, Sunshine, How One Camp Taught Me About Life, Death, and Hope. Jarrett, it's such a pleasure to talk to you again.
Mark Lynch, it always is.
Hey,
it's a pleasure to talk to you.
By the way, I think you're the most frequent guest on this show.
I would think so. I mean, 22 years going.
I know, and we've covered almost everything.
And I'm almost, yeah, I think I was 23 when my first book published, and so this is 22
and I covered that.
Career.
Yeah. Oh, my
so
God.
My time on... as a guest on your show, is almost as old as I was when my first book was published.
You played Punk Farm, played concerts down here to my grandchildren who were wee then and are now in college. I want to talk about this book because I really love this book, and it's got a completely different tone from Hey Kiddo. And I wanted to know, because it really seemed like it's going to be true, is this book two of a possible trilogy?
I'm kind of, you know, referring to it as the kiddo verse in that I want to make more memoirs.
Please,
you
know, don't go there.
not a multiverse. I mean, I have so many different ideas of different parts of my life that wouldn't fit into any, like, one book, right? And that was the gift my editor, David Levithan, gave me when I was making Hey Kiddo. He's like, don't write this book like it's the only chance you have to write about your life.
Right.
Because I had this whole chapter in Hey Kiddo that was about working at Camp Sunshine. He's like, if there's ever another book, this would be it, you know. Gina, my wife, has instructed me that I'm welcome to write as much as I want to, but it ends on our wedding day. Like, after we get married, the story is over for the public.
Your wife is very smart.
Yes.
No, but that would actually be interesting up until that point. I think there's a whole...
I think so.
Yeah.
What did you see? Did you see my April Fool's Day joke?
Yes, I did.
Believe people bought.
I did. Well, you know, I have to admit, are you talking about what I think you're talking about?
I jokingly said I had a book coming out, a collection of stories, and the book was called "Please Let This Be a Fart."
Right.
And
for a brief second, I thought, literally a half a second, I thought, wow. What a cool idea.
Well, and that's kind of where, you know, I looked to like someone like David Sedaris who could weave these short stories.
Were there people who took it seriously?
People were very disappointed that it was not real. I mean, immediately people were like, I'm gonna get this for my sister as IBS.
Right, yeah.
Sorry.
It's the culture we live in. Oh my God. And then it was immediately banned.
Immediately banned, yeah, exactly. Immediately.
I can't believe that. This children's book author is writing an entire book about...
Oh, poop in your pants.
Well, you know, that's in this book. Now, I want to ask you about writing about your own life, because more power to you. Are you comfortable still with that? You were just alluding to a piece of this about the process of editing your life to create a public persona, too. And the issues that you wrestle with, because writing about your life to me, it seems fraught with all sorts of things.
It is. I mean, I was terrified before Hey Kiddo was published.
I can see that.
I mean, there's a scene in Hey Kiddo that visually covers the fact that my mother, when I was a very small child living with her still, helped cover up a murder.
Yep.
And so that was a tough, like, you know, that's a very intimate detail. And, easier to share because my mother was no longer with us. And I think what's more difficult is, as I continue to write memoir, if it overlaps with people who are still with us, and that story overlaps with theirs. And I'm very cognizant and respectful of that. And, you know, for instance, for Sunshine, there are a number of families for which I'm still in touch with, and whether it's the bereaved family or the camper who's grown up, if I use the name and likeness, you know, done so with their permission. So if I continue to write memoir, I might have to do more situations where I'm combining people to create a character that's like an avatar of that situation. Where Hey Kiddo is closer to, say, a documentary, like, or an autobiography. You know, memoir, people often conflate memoir and autobiography, right? Like, memoir is like, this is the this story is true in its feelings and emotions and moments, versus autobiography, like, here's exactly the state, exactly how this happened, exactly what this person said verbatim. And it's more like a historical, an autobiography is more like a historical document. So I have a few pitches that I'm about to send to my publisher, which will be even more so, will involve a lot more courage to write, whether it be growing up and, the teenage boy's obsession with sex, or you're getting to college and dabbling in alcohol, and suddenly you're realizing you're abusing alcohol.
I found if you were to tell that story, I would find that fascinating. And I'm being serious. I would find that interesting.
Well, and that's just it. Like, you find a story that's interesting. And I get what I love about the return of in-person author events is, there'll be a moment when a young person comes up to the podium to connect with you. Yeah. And that takes a lot of courage, right, to do that. And oftentimes they're doing that because they've lived a similar experience that I grew up with, dealing with addiction in the family.
And that happened a lot to you for Hey Kiddo.
Happened to me a lot for Hey Kiddo. And there was this young man, I put him at 17, and he was definitely like a bro, right? He was definitely like more of like a jock, hat backwards kind of kid. And he had two of his friends with him to emotionally support him coming up to me. And he asked, how did you not fall into addiction like your mother did, because I'm really afraid that's what I'm doing right now.
Whoa. The awesome responsibility you must feel, though.
Right? Yes. Yeah, for sure.
I mean, the wrong word placed in the wrong place or with the wrong emphasis, it's like, that's a huge responsibility. But, you're up to it.
I'm up to it.
But it must be it must be draining.
It's draining, so I'm finding a good balance of getting out there, putting myself out there, and then also being home, being reserved, and putting the walls up.
Yep.
And that comes with age. That comes with what COVID taught me. How it's actually pretty nice just to sit still for a while and not be all over the place physically.
I can't believe how many artists I've talked to within the last year, and at some point COVID comes up about their work. There's going to be a book that's going to be written about the effect on artists of all different kinds of artists, recording artists, visual artists, and COVID. We got to talk about your book, okay? Because I want to make sure we talk about that. I'll tell you one thing. I really enjoyed hearing from your grandparents again.
Oh, I love that. Thank you.
I know. I realized they were great characters. I mean, they're not characters. They were people. But I just enjoy the way they deal with things. It would be tough to live with them. I understand that.
But they're entertaining to watch.
They're like a TV couple. I mean, it's like they're Fred and Ethel Mertz. I mean, it's so incredible. And you also learn more about their backgrounds, of their life in Sunshine, and that was fascinating to me. I just really, really loved meeting up with them again. Now, I want to just, for the benefit of the audience, we got to talk about the basic thing for the setup for Sunshine. And that is, you're a student at Holy Name. And how did you get to Camp Sunshine? And what is Camp Sunshine?
So Camp Sunshine is a therapeutic camp for children with life-threatening illnesses and their families.
It's not just cancer, is it?
No, but they do organize these sessions by specific illness so that there's commonality amongst the families. And the first session that I attended was as a camp for pediatric cancer. And, there's the ill child, and then there's the healthy siblings who just really need the attention, and then there's the parents who just really need a break.
I know, that was the thing that surprised me, is that the parents were there in camp.
Yeah, it's a pretty unique program, Camp Sunshine, and it's up in Maine. It's still running, and the parents have sessions with the other parents during the day, and where they can talk, they can connect, they can share their experiences, And when you were coming up at Holy Name, you always heard of Camp Sunshine because they would send seniors every year, and it wasn't just like, oh, you get to miss a week of school in September to go. It was something like, it was cool to go. Like, there was a section for Camp Sunshine in the yearbook, right? So, wow. So coming up, you always heard about it, and it was something like I thought I always might want to do. And I went to that first informational session after school, and they could send up 40 students, and about 100 or so students filed in. And so the faculty advisor did what he thought was best, is he chose names from a hat. And I remember at the time there were some people like, oh, no, they're totally rigged that. And it's like, could you look at the roster of kids they're sending up? Like, there's no way. Like, it's not just the quote-unquote good kids.
Well, that's part of the whole – that's part of the whole book. Okay, there's you're dealing with the campers. But then there's you dealing with all the other peers who are also there. And that's sort of a whole other different scene, which I think – you recorded incredibly well. There were things, there are language things that are in this book that are perfect for that time period.
Oh, and it's very much like the Breakfast Club.
Oh,
there's like the jock, there's the stoner, there's the theater kid, and you're all just thrown into school. With
I just love the fact that you got to write, no way, that's whack.
No way, that's whack. And
oh man, that was such a period piece.
It's such a period piece. And what's interesting is, we produced an audio book, and I did these live reads. Like, so when I book toured for Sunshine, I'd be on stage with nine readers, seven of which were young people, and there are certain cultural touchstones that I didn't realize that young people today did not know about.
Right? Like, oh, they have no idea. They have no idea.
They didn't know who Ace Ventura was.
Yep.
They one of the instructions in the reading is like, the audience gives a Jerry Springer reaction.
Right.
And the kids didn't know who Jerry Springer was.
Now look at the things you're having them go back and look at, like over the internet. Is that?
But what's really alarming?
You're going to go back and watch an hour or so of Jerry Springer.
And there's a number of scenes in Sunshine in which the Jerry character takes out his camcorder,
right,
and records his peers.
Camcorder?
I had to explain to the kids that it was so uncommon to be videotaped that they would not have a comfortable reaction to being filmed.
I know. And that's gone by the wayside. It's completely gone.
It's like, they'd be like, oh, if it came out good, tag me. You know?
Well, there's a scene in the beginning of the book. And by the way, if you haven't figured this out yet, and I'm talking to the audience, this is a graphic memoir. So it's completely drawn. There's a scene where you're going in the bus and everybody's listening to different music.
It's so 90s, right?
Oh, man. I love that. Oh, is that a DJ? Are you kidding me? I loved it. Yeah. That was fantastic.
It is fun. It is fun to live in that nostalgia factor, too, when I'm making these books. I guess the timing is very fortuitous because a lot of that is like cool for kids now too. But I think that no matter what, like, you know, growing up in the 90s, like, one of my favorite movies was Dazed and Confused.
Yeah. Oh,
and, yeah. And it's all about the human experience. The thing with Sunshine and with Hey Kiddo, what I've come to realize is that the more specific you are about the story, the more universal it becomes. Which, again, that like that mathematical equation doesn't seem to make sense, but it's so true.
Even the humor of you guys writing in it's number two, Brown Road.
Yeah. I realized afterwards when we did the live read, I was like, there's a lot of potty humor in this book.
Oh, no, no kidding.
Well, there's, you know, but it's about teenagers and then they're working with kids. And like, that's like,
oh,
everything is potty humor.
It's,
look,
it's money. It's money, man.
I re-drive by the street. It's called Duty Avenue, and it gets me every time.
Now, you get assigned one-on-one to a young person who's wheelchair-bound, who has brain cancer. Now, as we're talking about this, people are probably listening going, oh, my God, what a frickin' downer.
Right.
The book is great. It's about creating positive experiences for these children, for these young people, I should say, not just children. And yeah. And families, and it's a very upbeat, positive book.
I think even with Hey Kiddo, like, you know, the quote unquote elevator pitch which is like, okay, Hey Kiddo is about a kid dealing with his mother's heroin addiction.
Yeah.
Sunshine's about a kid working with kids with cancer. And it's like, right? And then, but also, like, people are always like, oh, these books are also hilarious.
Yeah, they are.
And
but it's hilarious, but I want to mention it's also fun. You know, it's fascinating. It's great to watch how you actually problem solve a lot in this book too, which I thought was really great. Situations.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah. And how meaningful this camp experience is to these campers. I mean, it's really an important experience. But it's so funny because you're right. When you, yes, he's dealing with a kid who's 13, who's wheelchair bound, who has brain cancer. That's not a good seller.
It's a tough sell when you just say it.
It's because of that and everything else that follows that that makes this a really positive book in the end. That said, one of the interesting things there are many interesting points in this book. In talking to, I think, both the your fellow counselors and others and kids, one of the things you realized is that a lot of people's families were screwed up.
Oh, that's so true, right?
And that's such an important thing to learn when you come from a family that's screwed up.
It's so true.
I come from a definite family that was horrendously screwed up. And it's really important for you to find out that may actually be the norm.
That you're not alone and that it's totally normal and it's totally, yeah, I mean, and that's what you, like, you would never have those conversations with your high school peers when you're in between classes. But now when you're in a situation where you're all sleeping over at the same place for a number of days and you're up late playing cards and you just get to talking and then it becomes like Pandora's box of conversation.
There are so many interesting points, Jared, about this book that I want to talk to you about. One of them is when you finally go down to the lake, you were really moved by being near water like that.
Yeah.
Why is that?
There's recently a scientific paper written about how being by the body of water calms you and centers you. And so I guess there's that scientific reason. But I remember too, like, never being around such expansive open sky. I grew up in Worcester, and sure, like, I went to the beach at Hampton Beach and stuff like that, but you have that open sky above the ocean, but then you also hear like the shooting gallery and Playland Arcade and like people selling t-shirts, like, so, but it's not quiet. Like, there's something about like that open sky that was just, everything was still and everything was quiet. And
nice.
and because this is a graphic memoir, you know, a illustrated memoir, like, you can, I was able to turn the page and then show that and having this one illustration break out to be as big as possible amongst those two pages.
Now, I have a confession. When I first picked this up in book and I started it, this is a book by Jarrett that's not going to have monsters and it's not going to have superheroes. And I was wrong. Because the Power Rangers figure prominently in this book.
Oh, yeah.
For superheroes.
Yeah, the little boy that I took care of, you had dual responsibilities at Camp Sunshine. You had whatever age group you were assigned to during the day. And for me, that was that one-on-one camper you mentioned. But then you were also assigned to a family to sit with at meals and make sure they had everything they need. And there was, I tended to a family with a four-year-old who had acute lymphatic leukemia, and he was obsessed with the Power Rangers.
Wow.
And, and he would dress up as them. He had the toys and everything. And, I was never a fan of the show. That was not my generation.
Yeah, me neither.
But it pulls at my heartstrings whenever I see anything Power Rangers related.
Now, that's the superhero. There is a supervillain. Chippy.
Oh, Chippy the costume. There was a mascot costume. Have you ever been inside a mascot?
No. And actually, after reading this, I don't want to go inside.
It smells. I think, a kid's tendency are either to hug you or attack you.
That makes total sense to me.
Nothing in between. There are the kids who buy into the magic of this giant talking chipmunk, and then there are others who are like, no, it's a farce, and they want to tear it down.
But what a bizarre thing that just sort of seemed like it, out of nowhere, all of a sudden there's a giant chipmunk.
And those mascot eyes, like I write in the book, their eyes stare through your soul.
I know. It's why people are afraid of clowns.
People are afraid of clowns. Well, I was very relieved to know that the camp itself, I've reconnected with Camp Sunshine because of this book, and they all thought that was funny about Chippy too. So I was like, okay, I hope I'm not slandering.
He's not still there, is he?
He's been replaced by three different woodland creatures that are masked out of costume.
Oh God, they're multiplying. Now,
I think that's probably only because that mascot costume didn't stand the test of time.
Oh, I'm sure it did. I'm sure it did. Now, on a serious note, I want to talk about the artwork in this because that's a major feature of your books, all your books. You use a limited palette with a lot of gray washes, and people have not seen your work. Your lines are pretty loose and impressive, impressionistic, I would want to say. And that really works in this book in particular, because there are little touches of brighter color here and there, but generally it's a grayer palette.
Yeah. Yeah. So that started with Hey Kiddo. So
yeah,
Hey Kiddo,
I noticed that. Yeah.
Hey Kiddo is you know, black and grayscale with a burnt orange color as like the signature color. And initially, you know, that came from, I had a big concern that, you know, people would hand a young reader Hey Kiddo right after they finished Lunch Lady. And graphic memoir is very, very popular for the middle grade reader, and that's your 9 to 12-year-old reader. And those books are all in full color. And we wanted to visually signal that this was for older readers.
Yes, yes.
And I think just by
that's very successful in that regard. That's exactly what that means.
Right, because there's something about it just looks more mature. And so then, you know, when it came to Sunshine, like, well, it needs to look like Hey Kiddo. Like, it needs to be of the same world. But then adding the color yellow to that burnt orange to give Sunshine its signature color. And, you know, the staff shirts were yellow. Yellow is the color of the sun. Yellow is a hopeful color. And so that worked out really well for how it looked with the burnt orange. And when the Jarrett character is in Worcester, that yellow isn't there, right?
Yep,
and then
yep.
when he leaves the family home to have this experience outside of the homestead, that yellow slowly creeps in and creeps in and creeps in.
It's so interesting because you can tell, and a lot of it's because probably I've known you for so long, how much you care about details like that and how meaningful it is. But the most important thing is it's subtle, that if people didn't think about it, they just sort of go along with it. The other thing
hey, look, it's yellow. Do you see how it's yellow?
What a clever artist.
Yeah, wasn't that great? Isn't that cool thing I did?
The other thing is, I think you had the most successful double page spreads that you've ever had in any book so far.
Which one did you like?
I thought they were all great. The party, the campfire, all of them. I thought you really owned the double page spread.
I don't think people realize how much thought goes into the rhythm of the page turn and the double page spread, and how it's like a big mathematical equation. And essentially, you know, for the listeners, it's like, imagine, like what I say is big moments deserve big pictures and small moments need small pictures. And then you feel it. I mean, my career began as a picture book author illustrator, and that was sort of training ground. But then I also think to the rhythm of film. And, you know, think of something like a scene that gets cut very quickly, and then a scene that just allows you to sit for a moment.
There's also an element of like those great paintings by Bosch and Bruegel the Elder, where they have all the stuff going on in one panel.
Yeah.
And there's that element. It's a tradition. You can't overuse it. You're right. You have to be very careful when you use it for effect. But I thought you really mastered that in this. I loved the double page spreads. Now, we're almost out of time. I guess I never knew that the Holy Name paper was called the Napoleon.
Oh, isn't that the dumbest mascot of all time? And
dumb. I think it's really scary. I mean, he's like an emperor who tried to take over Europe. Why the hell?
The story goes is that when Holy Name was founded, they had a really good basketball team, and they were small.
they were dominating.
Small but mighty.
They were dominating.
Small but mighty.
Oh God!
And that's how it became the Napoleon. And if you think it's bad that the newspaper is called the Napoleon, for short, the sports team would be referred to as the Naps.
Do they have like the mascot drawing is like a little Napoleon with his hand in his
yep.
Oh God.
Yep.
No. Oh God. Well, with that note, I think we're gonna wind up. This is a fabulous book to read and to look at. And people who have never ever read a graphic book, I think this is a perfect place to start. And
well,
it's a great.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. I think, you know, those superhero things and some of the other ones are a little bit too much for people who have never read a graphic book. I think this is a great place to start. I hope there's going to be a third volume. My returning guest tonight is best-selling author and artist of many books for young people and good friend, Jarrett J. Krzoska. And we're talking about his graphic memoir, Sunshine, How One Camp Taught Me About Life, Death, and Hope. I have one last thing to say to you, Jarrett.
What's that?
You got five minutes to get rid of that word.
And once you read the book, you'll get it.
Yeah, that's right. You're gonna have to take it easy, Jarrett. It's a pleasure.
Thank you, sir.
You're listening to WICN 90.5 FM. This is Inquiry. My name is Mark Lynch. Good night.